And it says, you promise not to develop your land in any industrial manner. In return, you are going to keep it agricultural use in return for this tax reduction. Well, now a lot of these people leased, and they didn't even remember they were on Clean and Green. And so they got these tax bills because it's retroactive to the time that you signed Clean and Green. And so Gene Yaw has introduced a bill into the state legislature to have it so that if you're on Clean and Green, it only includes that little pad area where your gas well. So 5 acres would be taken out of the Clean and Green, and you would only pay the taxes on that 5 acres, which to me is the biggest crock of bullshit.
Yeah, right.
When those people signed that paper, they knew they were agreeing. They were happy to have the tax decrease when they signed the Clean and Green. So he's not. I'm not a big fan of him because of that alone. Because it's not like people didn't realize what Clean and Green meant, and that's their argument. And actually, Ken Ealy had a lawsuit. Ken Ealy is a man who has wells on his property. He passed away. He died, but he had a lawsuit about this, and I heard his widow told me he won that, the Clean and Green. That's what she told me.
Ah, what did he win?
That he didn't have to pay it.
Oh, the okay.
The back taxes on the pension.
Okay, yeah, he sounded like the.
So how has this process affected your life, other than that you're fighting with your neighbors, or there's uncomfortable relationships with your neighbors? How else has it affected you day to day?
You know, losing my husband at the age of 53 was a terribly depressing experience, but, you know, I got that. I think I've gotten through that. It was, you know, some years ago, but this is just like some terrible, you know, depression, because you feel that you don't have your representatives that are informed individuals that you can relate to and that you can convince of anything. You feel that you can't. It's almost a taboo subject. Like, you can talk about it with a few people, but not with people that you've been friends with hardly at all for all these years.
It's tearing the community apart.
Yeah, it's absolutely. That's the worst part. One of the worst parts is that it's just torn the community apart. And, you know, some guy on the Woodburn Committee, I sent out a letter opposed to doing the gas drilling in the state forest. And, you know, it was the week that we had the fourth spill here, frack spill, in like 2 weeks. And so, and knowing, the one representative, my representative, called me up a few weeks ago. I'm the chairwoman of the Susquehanna County Recycling Committee. My husband helped establish the recycling center. And I had written something to her about the severance tax. She called me up from Washington, this woman, my representative. And I couldn't believe it was her that, you know, because I didn't even write a long note or anything. I just said, blah, blah, I want to see the severance tax. She's trying to tell me, oh, she thinks that, you know, that there shouldn't be a severance tax. We want to help the gas companies as much as possible, that they're having, you know, all these expenses to begin with. Like, what expenses? They've already got all their gas drilling rigs up here. But anyway, she even said to me, to show you the mentality, and I said, oh, by the way, well, I have you on the phone. There's two recycling bills right now that are coming to your, you know, to your desk, and I hope that you're going to pass them because we desperately need that. She said to me, well, you know, there's a lot of people that even question the value of recycling. I almost went totally off the chair. I was like, Tina, there is no way that recycling is not beneficial for the earth. And I mean, this is the stupid mentality of people to even question recycling. Anyways, it's just like this big bird. Now, I'm very sensitive to noise. I've been a bird watcher all my life.
Yeah.
This land has always been free. And to think about these darn wells, I mean, I'm going to be really claustrophobic even having them around me working. And then I found out a few weeks ago that my neighbor off the road, who has been extremely unpleasant and unfriendly to me, a real bully, but he owns the Montrose Inn, you know, so he's got a lot of power, the biggest restaurant in town. And that's the other thing, you know, part of the clique, that you don't see anything about anybody that's got a business, you know, anybody that appears successful, even though personally they're a B-A-S-T-A-R-D, found out he's bragging he's going to get a well up the hill here. And I have the sanctuary.
He's
we bought this.
About
yes, he can't wait to get it. He's only got like 13 acres. We have the sanctuary on this side of us and behind us. So we've always felt very nicely protected. We were the naturalists for 14 years. And then my mom died in Connecticut. We got money and we bought this 6 acres. And he, you know, took 8 years to build the house and all. But we always felt we were nicely protected, at least on this side. And I know that I'm going to have him downhill from me. So, you know, knowing about watersheds and everything, I'm thinking, okay, Joyce, you can live with that. It's downhill from you. Well, it's 365 feet deep. But if he has a well up there, it's down. I'm downhill of him. So, you know, and he is so unpleasant that I can just, you know, so I'm dreading that. Here I am. It might not happen for a year or 2 years or 3 years or 10 years. For the rest of my life, I am going to be living in fear of having that well there. I've got blueberries, grapes. I mean, I've got gardens everywhere. I have a fifth of an acre of the land is in gardens. So, yeah, personally, it's just taken away your quality of your life. I mean, that's even putting it, it feels like it's either taking away your life. It's just, it affects you, everything. I mean, I'm the scientist, so I started to say this guy on the Woodburn Committee wrote back to me when I sent that letter in about the not having the drilling on the state forest, and he said to me, Joyce, he said, you overstate everything, and he said, nobody will ever listen to anything you say. He's a Republican lawyer. But, and anyway, he's got a lot of, he has a big Christmas party every December. You know, this is only 1,000 people here. All my friends and everybody on that Woodburn committee goes to his Christmas party. So it's like, Joyce, don't argue back. Don't say anything.
Oh,
even
it
if
sounds hopeless. I mean, I'm sorry.
It has been, yeah, I've had so much spirit all my life to fight all
that.
These things. And then, you know, I have a friend, George. I don't know if Lynn knows George, but he's a very intellectual person. I was just on the phone with him this morning. He's married, but, you know, he's a gardener and all. And I can't get him to write letters, you know. It's just like those few people that are capable of doing something just feel like it's so hopeless. They won't do anything, and I'm just trying with my dying breath that we've... I'm even scolded Lynn that...
You know. I mean, see, we're 40% no drilling yet. You're 90%, you know.
Oh, at least. It's got to be 98.
It must be just, it's hopeless.
Devastating.
Well, and then, you know, I just feel like these representatives are being paid off. And I've worked with DEP for, whatever, 34 years here. And I know these guys are out for the environment. But it must be killing them to be working for DEP right now.
That's just what Linda's saying.
I was just saying that I feel badly for the local DEP guys like Mark and all. I mean, it's got to be really, really hard for them.
It's got to be. I mean, and the guys that I got to come to the rescue meeting, I still believed, you know, the guy that drove 300 miles here, that he is out for good. And he's just being told... cover this up. He's got to be, you know, don't make anything about this.
I mean, is it, you know how discouraging it is for us. Imagine they have to be feeling the same way.
Yeah.
You know,
and just to rubber stamp all these permits.
Right. And it's your job. And you've been in it long enough that you're looking forward to retirement. So.
Yeah, that's it. Most of them are about to retire. I mean, look at my house. Here I've got State Shuts Down Cabot, you know. I've got these things everywhere. My office is in there with, you know, all these newspaper clippings everywhere. I've got to write that letter about the Meshoppin Creek. I mean, I tried to – this Meshoppin Creek where they want to put a track treatment plant. My husband and I were supporting strongly, when was it, 15 years ago, I was telling Lynn they were going to make that into a scenic river. And my daughter's teacher was a he's probably that too, but, you know, landowner's rights, you know. And he fought it like mad. And we went to this meeting at Elk Lake School where there was 400 redneck men, and Ben and I and one minister trying to plea for this thing, and DCNR down here totally handled that wrong. They only recorded all the negative comments before they would answer anyone's questions. And I stood up and I said, I'm sure they're going to answer your questions, and they wouldn't do it.
You wanted to make it into a scenic river, and now it's going to be used for what?
A frack treatment plant is being proposed.
A frack treatment plant on the river?
On the Susquehanna River, yes. There's two, that's one of the
You mean to take the water out of it? Or to...
No, to treat the water and dump it into the river.
Dump it into the river, into the scenic
river. Into this little creek. Into this little creek.
This is it. Well, I'll tell you about that in the car. Okay. Joyce, I wanted to say to you that if we're going to fight this, the best place to fight it is on the water treatment, because even people who have wells, if they're fishermen or they have any kind of sensitivity whatsoever to the environment, are going to realize it's not a good thing for the stream. Meshopin Creek is what you could jump across to practically. People are going to, you can unite people around the water usage and disposal issues, even if they're leaseholders. If you start talking about fracking and like the fracking's going to contaminate the water, well, they're going to haul out all this information they got from the gas companies about how it's not, and you're going to argue about that till kingdom come.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. Stick with something that you can really get some support around.
Mm-hmm.
This new thing with New York City saying that they don't want it in their watershed. Well, if it's not good for them, then it's not good for us too. You know, that's a good point to.
I'm expecting everyone is going to succumb about things. I think the most we can do is to try to have the frack treatment plant put on the Susquehanna River. That's what I'm going to write in my testimony. It's insane. They're going to release, according to one person, I'm not sure because I didn't read the information yet, this 1,000-page report. They're going to release like 400,000 pounds a day of total dissolved solids or something. I don't know.
They're asking for a permit for gallons a day permit. So they would take in 390,000 gallons,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying they're going to treat it to EPA drinking water standards, but they're still locating it on a creek and asking for discharge permits. This creek runs in the wet season like, 2 feet deep? I mean, it's this tiny little creek. It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. And yet this is
Even DEP to consider it is
going to have 11
insane
evaporation lined ponds, open air lined evaporation ponds, 11 in an area that looks like this. I mean, it's like,
how much can they clean this water up anyway? I mean,
this company who's doing the engineering for this has stated that it's going to be EPA drinking water standards, like you could drink it.
So they evaporate the water out.
It's
going to
be. They're
going
to evaporate it, and then they're going to distill it. So this plant,
really?
Yeah, this is what they're proposing. Now, what happens?
How much energy will they put into that?
This thing is a massive thing. You're going to be able to see it from miles around. And there's people on our forum who live on this road. You know, there's one woman who gave excellent testimony at the hearing. It's on our forum. I put her testimony on there. She lives on the road, like the discharge, there's a little pond or something there. It used to be a creamery. Like the pipe faces her backyard, you know.
Well,
and the truck traffic, they're going to have trucks coming in 24/7, you know.
I'm still involved with this group called Rescue, and I was hoping Rescue would accept my position, but Rescue only has like 3 people right now that are even active in it. But what my testimony about these frack treatment plants is that before this permit is approved, that an independent study has to be made by another environmental organization in Pennsylvania. I said that the name of that company should be withheld to be remain silent until the end of this investigation is done, and that independent company has to determine not only the effects short-term and long-term of releasing 400,000 pounds a day of chemicals and everything else, but it should be investigating the capability of these companies to do as they claim.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see DEP, with having their staff cut 27-29% right now, they don't have the ability, they don't have these experts that know about frack treatment plants.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that that is one thing that we have to fight for, is that these companies themselves need to be investigated. How can we just entrust some company from Colorado we don't know anything about, that they're going to come in here and have clean water at the result of taking out 50 chemicals? I don't think it's, you can do it.
No. It's all new technology. It's not tested.
We shouldn't even be entertaining this because we don't even know whether the technology exists.
Are there frack water treatment plants in Pennsylvania? No, that's why.
This is the first one.
They've said something about that they can bring their water out 300 miles to western Pennsylvania.
Yes, but they're not treating it. It's not a frack treatment plant. It's
what are they doing right now?
A municipal sewer, like a, you know, what do they
like
call it?
Wastewater treatment plant.
And what they do basically is dilute it. You know, it's not treated. They can only dilute it.
And yet it's already being diluted so much out on the Monongahela that they've already reached the maximum that river can support for accepting anything.
The Monongahela River has had so many problems the last year with total dissolved solids. They had a huge fish kill recently.
Yeah. That was Drunkard Creek, Pristine Creek, 30 miles, even had mud puppies in it, which are a rare salamander.
The crux of the problem is there is nowhere to put all this water. And also they're taking it out in the New Age Examiner. They have a public notice that two people down from Eaton Township in Tunkhannock want water withdrawal permits. One was 999,000 gallons a day, and the other one was 680,000 gallons a day water withdrawal from the Susquehanna River. The same river that they're going to dump all the treatment stuff in. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm not even a scientist, and that doesn't make any sense.
That's just common sense, yes.
Right.
It's common.
We're just deciding now, that's why we're...
Yeah, a lot of the bad stuff is this barium that they're bringing up that's been down there forever. And, you know, it just seems to me like, okay, leave it all down there if you can and try to seal it off. But, you know, and one company did say that they were trying to do it, either recycling it or leaving it down there. I mean...
But that's more... We've heard there's so-called closed-loop systems where they recirculate the brine, but... Companies are limited knowledge. Companies don't want to do it because it costs more money.
It costs more money, and also they can only do that a certain amount of times. It's better than not doing it, but eventually they're going to wind up with really highly toxic water.
Then what do you do? Send it to the moon?
Right. Yeah. And then
even the treatment plants, some people would probably think they could.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And the thing is, even if they treat it and they get clear water that comes out, you still have all that toxic solids that are going into landfills.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't disappear.
Yes, right.
People think this stuff, like, you know, if you bury it or you, like, somehow it just, it's gone.
They're burying their heads.
It's
I mean,
ostrich.
That's it.
Yeah.
They feel like they don't have to get involved. I mean, that's what's so hard is the mentality that everybody's, this woman, the representative said, oh, she's sure DEP is in control of, you know, the whole situation.
After all, they're DEP, right?
Right.
Just like RDEC.
Well, people trust their government. Despite many, many incidences where it can be proven that you shouldn't, but they still, you know, who wants to hear this? I don't want to hear this. I wish I didn't know about this.
We feel so much better having come to talk with you, Joyce. Thank you.
That was Joyce, a resident of Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, interviewed last month by members of Shale Shock from New York. Let's take a break, and I'll return with a final witness. This is Unwelcome Guests, and you're tuned to WEOS Geneva, WXXE Fenner Syracuse, 88.1 Ithaca Community Radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Moscow, Free Radio Olympia, KQRP Salida, WGDR Plainfield, KWMD Kasilof Anchorage, WZKW Kingsville, KOWA Olympia, WRFN, Nashville, WUOW, Oneonta, KRBS, Oroville, WKNH, Keene, Radio Veronica, U.S., WYQZ, Warrenton, Bealeton, KSOW, Cottage Grove, or WMRW, Warren.
John Svensson was a farmer. He grew the Minnesota wheat. rode there with his daughter, high up on the thresher's seat. They broke down on the hillside, the radiator spitting steam. Went back to get the toolbox so they could fix the old machine. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, we can fix the tractor, we can make it like new. But that day they got a letter that said the power lines would come right across their farmland, right across the setting sun. So they gathered all the family and talked late into the night. We cannot let them do this. We've got to put up one hell of a fight. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, we'll apply a little pressure and we'll see what that will do. So they phoned 100 farmers and drove to the Twin Cities. Met there with the governor and they sued the utility. But after writing all the letters and paying all the legal costs to the power of the city, once again the farmers lost. And in the still of the evening, the wind is all you hear. I watch the waves on the wheat fields alone. I walk the furrows of earth I plant year after year. This is our land, this is our home. This is our land, this is our home. So they met there at the tavern, but there wasn't much to say. The power lines may come, but they will not stay. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, what was once put together we can easily undo. With bandanas on their faces, careful not to make a sound, they loosened all the bolts that held the towers to the ground. And several weeks later, nobody around, the Minnesota wind blew tower after tower after tower down. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, what was once put together we can easily undo. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of, what was once put together we can easily undo. And in the still of the evening, the wind is all you hear. I watch the waves on the wheat fields alone. I walk the furrows of earth I plant year after year. Our land, this is our home. This is our land, this is our home. This is our land, this is our home. This is our land, this is our home. We'll be right back.
Turn of the Wrench by Dana Lyons. That song was based on a true story of people defending their homes from being made into an ugly corporate profit sacrifice zone. The final speaker is Frank, and in some way his words tear me up the most of all, because he speaks about what I'm feeling, the sense of despair and fear and rage. As I was editing his talk, I found myself asking if I had the courage to give my life, if necessary, to save the Finger Lakes. I asked myself, what does it mean to love a place? What does it mean to love the land? I think of the people sent to Iraq to give their lives for nothing so oil companies can increase their reserves and profits. I think of the people in Cochabamba who died to get their water back from the Bechtel Corporation. Of the people in the Niger Delta dying now to drive out the oil companies that have destroyed their lands. I think of all the Native American warriors who died fighting for their land. And of John Brown, who was executed for mounting an attack on slaveholders to free the slaves. All these heroes of history show what love and courage is. History also shows us those who lacked courage, who were complicit, and who looked to their own advantage. It's funny, because even the people who today follow in their footsteps remember these accommodators and cowards of history with contempt. I ask myself what I can live with if I allow the Finger Lakes to be destroyed. Frank and the others observe how it seems that some of the most ardent defenders of the land and beauty of rural places in America are transplants from the city. It's no accident, I know, because I'm a transplant, and I know how transplants feel. We come to these places because we love them, because we have found on earth the paradise of our dreams. As in David Rovick's song, A Place Where Life is Good. Here's Frank.
Well, right now I'm really frustrated because I moved here from New Jersey like 30 years ago because of what happened in New Jersey. And of course, you know, we got made fun of because we were from New Jersey.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, within a couple of years,
New Jersey,
when you say that. Well, you know, New York overflowed into it. And it turned into what it is now. When I was raised in New Jersey, it was pretty much like this. Mm-hmm. So I had to leave once, and I didn't want to leave again. And there's a lot of people that are aware of what's going on here are transplants, because they saw it happen once, and they know it could happen again. And the people that lived here all their lives are just in the dream world thinking that it can never happen to them.
Most of the active people in our groups are transplants here.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. There's some people that are local that are concerned, but they just don't really seem to believe what's going to happen. And I think in a nutshell is, I think the greedy people, like the whale people, preyed on knowing that people would believe a lie, knowing that they would get money for it. And they want to continue to believe the lie. If they'd research and find out it was a lie, then their bubble's going to get popped. And they're trying to delay that as much as they can.
Around here, we noticed on the way here, we saw a lot of wells. This area, there's not that many wells yet, but all the land is leased. Is that?
Everybody around me is leased.
Everyone around me.
Yeah. And
how many acres do you have?
I only have 10 acres. But
it's. What's it done to your relationship with your neighbors? We've been hearing about that.
So far, it's okay. I try to understand them. And I'm sure there's going to be conflict eventually. Because I had a group got together here. There was a year where I didn't do anything. I was putting 8 hours a day into this for about 6 months, and then
Frank,
we got.
I was impressed, Frank, that you put all that time in it. This was way back before people really were aware of it. He was doing a lot of research about it then. That was several years ago.
No, that was, I guess about 2 years ago, about now.
Yeah.
And that was my focus point until around March of 08, when we realized that my wife was sick. And she passed away shortly after. And it took me, so for about a year, I just pretended things weren't happening, like everybody else was. And I would say I went to California, and I stayed there for a month trying to figure out what to do, either run or fight. And I can't run, even though it's probably the smart thing to do. But I just, and to be blunt, you know, Cheney's probably the scariest guy on earth. Mm-hmm. And I was upset when he attacked Iraq, and I was upset with a lot of things he was doing. And I would just sit and cry and hope somebody would do something. And now I'm attacked personally. It's almost as if it's not real. You know, it's a personal thing now. And we got to fight back. I mean, Iraq threw them out. Why can't we?
Well, that's what we're here for, is that we in Ithaca, we feel the same. That, you know, not having been through what you've been through, just, you know, down here or recently, but we're like this disparate group of people, leaves in the stream, kind of, you know, all in the same stream and all pretty much as helpless as leaves, but we're starting to clump up a little bit together. And then so we meet, you know, people like Lynn, we meet people like you, and suddenly we realize, you know, maybe there's some hope, but, you know, it seems kind of...
There has to be hope, because this is just too crazy to let happen. Mm-hmm. And, well...
Does it affect your daily life? Like, do you see trucks up here and all that, or not so much?
When they first moved in up the road here, they were coming from the north, so all the trucks were coming past my house. Yeah. And then it turns out that they had the wrong permit for the drill that they were putting in. They put in, like, a super drill, and they had... I think this is what happened. Don't quote me on this. But I understand that the permit was for the wrong equipment. So they actually, even though I had it set up, they had to move it out.
Wow.
So some people are thinking, well, they hit a dry hole and they're quitting, you know. But they just went to Wellsboro for a couple of months until the permit got changed. And then they came back. And they're going full blast up there. They're on the third hole now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Will you show us this well?
Yeah. In fact, it's really strange. You know, some, a lot of people are telling me that they can't get on a well, or they get thrown off a well. I got thrown off, a couple. But the one up here, I'm getting along real good with the people. And it's almost to the point where I feel I'm betraying their trust if I do snooping. It's really getting creepy. You know.
What are you looking for when you're...
The chemicals, mainly. I went on last Sunday with a little camera, just acting as if I was... I went there to make an appointment to get a tour. And the company man wasn't there. So I figured I'm on the pad already. I was knocking on doors. I'm on the pad already, so I figured I'd just walk around. And I found the chemical area. And I just pulled up my little point-and-shoot and started photographing the labels. And I thought if I brought my big camera, they'd kind of like think I was... a bit more smart. So next thing I know, there was a guy behind me, and he wanted to know who I was and what I was doing. And I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. I told him I live down the road, I got to drink the water, and things are going into the water, and I want to know what they are. And he just told me to put the camera away, and he would show me around everywhere but the chemicals. And he took me around, it had to be at least an hour. It seemed like 2 hours, because it was so noisy. And I asked a lot of questions, but I couldn't really hear the answers. But he was a real friendly guy. I don't know if he was trained to be friendly.
Yeah.
Or not. In fact, I did tell him when he first met me, I said that the farmer told me that this was going to be like the best well around. It was going to be like a showcase. So I guess he heard the word showcase and assumed that he's got to show me around.
Right.
So and I was amazed at what I saw. Really, really sophisticated equipment. I didn't know it was going to be that sophisticated. But this is one of the bigger rigs.
You mean the controls for the equipment?
Yeah.
As far as the gauges and the temperature, pressure and flow and such like that?
Yeah, they took me right up to the control room.
Where
Yeah, right attached to the rig. And there's a guy in there in like a big, comfortable dentist chair with four monitors around him and a joystick and a couple of cans of Mountain Dew.
And he's manipulating that drill head?
No. I guess he could be.
Yeah.
But he had cameras. In fact, they found me on the camera. They had a camera on top of the rig that you could see everything straight down or out for miles, actually.
Oh, that's very good information.
Yeah, wow.
So, in fact, I had a voice recorder going.
They have a camera on top of the rig?
Yeah. In fact, they showed me everything. There was the room, I guess the control room was probably 12 by 12. This room is 12 by 12, about the size of this. And they had, look, this whole wall here was, it looked like gym lockers, but it was all computers. With some had monitors on it, some had buttons, and they opened up every one of them to show what's inside. I hadn't asked them to. You know, they showed me the camera works. They showed me a lot of stuff.
So were they were drilling. They weren't fracking. You didn't see them.
They're not fracking yet.
Yeah.
And
but
I was.
They already had the chemicals there for fracking.
I don't think that's. I think this is drilling chemicals. I looked at the labels.
Yeah,
I was relieved. There was nothing there that looked scary.
Uh-huh.
But I was. You know, it's kind of mixed. You know, do you want to catch the bad stuff so you can get them out of here, or hope there's no bad stuff to be chased?
How could you get them out of there if you catch? I mean, they're allowed to use it, right?
This is a question I have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cheney changed the rules
when
he was in office. So if he hadn't changed the rules, would all this be illegal? And
it
I think
would be overseen by the EPA.
It'd be monitored a little bit more closely.
It'd be monitored by the federal government instead of the state government.
But if they're exempt from...
No money and no...
Like, apparently they're allowed to pollute the water. Am I right?
Yes.
They're exempt?
To a certain limit.
They're allowed to inject toxins near our drinking water, which they wouldn't have been allowed if they hadn't gotten rid of the Safe Drinking Water Act. They're the only industry in the country that's exempt from the Safe Drinking Water Act.
Yeah, so they changed the rules.
That was the final law that applied to them. But all the other... federal laws, environmental laws, they already got out of before that. At least for exploration and drilling.
You mean got out before Cheney?
Safe Drinking, Clean Air, Clean Water Act, CERCLA, Superfund laws, all of that, they got exempted from all of those things.
Now,
drilling and exploration. And then under Cheney, under Bush Cheney, they got exempt from the Safe Drinking Water Act. That was the last act that applied to them.
Oh, okay.
But even if they weren't exempt from the Safe Water Drinking Act, that only applies to municipal water sources that have over something like 250 households. So it wouldn't protect our areas at all. Most people around it. Most of Pennsylvania get their water from wells or springs.
That's
the greater majority of
people. So even the Safe Drinking Water
Act. Well, the FRAC Act was going to change that, though. They kind of put that in the FRAC Act. That it was going
to
apply
to
smaller.
To everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Safe Water Drinking Act applies to municipal water sources or households
that
are
hooked up to. Now, if we ever get that bill passed, it'll
over,
change that.
I think it's 250
number.
Households.
Okay.
So, like, you know, if you have a spring or a well, it didn't include you.
Wow.
So I'm up in the air as to how to handle that. I don't know if we have enough time to be diplomatic.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that. You know, any taping we do, by the way, our objective initially is just to do like some words. We don't even know what they would be for a 30-second radio spot. We've done a radio spot with a little girl's voice saying, "This sounds scary. You know, how can we learn about this?" And then we send them to a website. That's that.
Mm-hmm.
The next step in this, the Xiao Shop website. The next step in this, we think should be real people like you. You know, who are expressing real concern because this is what you're living right now. We don't know what we're going to use. And anything we use...
And it would only be a short little...
We would identify you either. All we do is use the sound of your voice.
We'd let you know.
Okay.
But I mean, that's all we... And we're here for our own background. You know, Judy and I and Dave have been, you know, in the process of trying to fight, at least learn about this. Well, I've seen some pictures. So, no, they looked about...
Pictures.
They looked about...
like I thought, you know. Yeah.
I was surprised to hear how long, like Pat said, how long they had been there drilling, because they kept telling us, oh, they're just there a few weeks, and then they're gone, and you just have the little wellhead. And she said, well, they've been here for a year and a half like this, with constant traffic and lights and noise 24 hours a day, a year and a half, not 3 weeks.
And then if they complete your well, then there's the neighbor's well up the street.
And then they keep fracking over and over.
But that's what's impressed me. Yeah. We've been driving around this area, which, as you know, is gorgeous. And we come from Ithaca, which is pretty. This is like the Alps. Every time you come to a beautiful hillside, you see something that reminds you you're in an industrial site. You know, you see if it's just a white truck, or it's a drill, or 75 big tanker trucks like next to Pat's house. You know, and you're reminded that this beautiful area is not beautiful anymore. You know, that it's look what's happening. You know,
staying here for about a week. He left about a week ago from England, and he couldn't believe what's going on. Like he said that this place is beautiful, and I showed him the rigs. He was just didn't know what to say about it.
Other countries, like in Germany, they would never be able to do this because the forests are protected there.
But that's why there is hope here. It's not like we're completely crazy. Other cultures, Western cultures, have been able to say, wait a minute, you've got to be crazy to do this here.
The DEC and the DEP are leasing the state forests. Mm-hmm. Huge, as fast as they can. That's what's terrifying.
And it's that NIMBY thing. I don't know if anyone believes this, but to me, the other drilling I've seen in movies is in Wyoming or Colorado or Texas. Those are big places with big roads, and there's not that many people, at least discernibly, around the wells. Here, you're living where you live. I mean, there's people here. There's little tiny roads. The same where we are. There's little tiny roads.
There's a drill next to an elementary school here.
Yeah, I mean, that's... So it's nuts. If you're going to do this, okay, do it out in Texas, which is 1 million square miles of wells.
Yeah, but they don't have the Marcellus underneath.
I know. If I were king.
They already sucked those people dry.
But this technology is not meant for places where there's people. It can't be, right?
Well, I drove through Texas, the gas fields through there. And it's strange because it's all tumbleweed and scrub brush.
Well, yeah.
So you drill a well, and then the scrub brush comes back, and you don't have to make paths through trees to get to it. So it almost looks like nothing happened there.
Here it's different.
Here it's a lot different. So I don't know. They were talking about putting a well every 40 acres.
Yeah.
And you have to clear 4 acres for each well.
Right.
So that's 10% of the property being plowed. Plus the pipelines and the roads.
The rods that are going through, they're cutting out the trees. You saw we just went through one. And the pipeline and everything.
I just heard something about... It's so funny. I go to Scranton a lot, and it's only 25 miles from here, and they are clueless as to what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm, amazed that they don't know. And yesterday I heard about Towanda. I'm only 25 miles from Towanda. I didn't know they were attacked.
Oh, yeah.
And there's signs up there saying, welcome drillers.
Yeah, Bradford County is... I think Bradford County is even getting it worse than we are.
See, why does... In fact, I've...
I got a hold of the TV station today, and I'm trying to get a helicopter, and I'm also trying to get a gas finder camera. I was trying to buy one on my own, thinking I could get one for about $10,000, and used are $65,000.
Wow.
So they have rentals for $4,000 a week.
Yeah. What are they?
It's a type of infrared camera that doesn't work off heat like a regular infrared camera. It works off of some kind of,
infrared or something. Isn't that what they use to take the pictures out there in Fort Worth of the compressor and all the pollution that was coming out of the compressors that wasn't visible to them?
Yes, that's the camera.
Yeah, I've seen those on YouTube.
And it's, they go over with the helicopter. And I thought if I got a cheaper one that was handheld, that was just... I could take an ATV and follow the pipelines or just go up to the wells and take a picture.
Can you rent one?
$4,000 a week.
A week might do it. A week might do it.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you get a lot of pictures in
it. Yeah. Yeah, then if I got the helicopter. TV station said they told me that if they had one, they'd do it, but they have to rent the helicopter.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought that if I had the helicopter lined up, maybe the Flare people, which sells or makes these cameras, they're the only company in the world I think that makes them, maybe they would donate one or let us borrow one.
Yeah.
And I think if I had the camera lined up, the TV station would be more inclined to get the helicopter.
Yeah, it's a chicken and
egg. Yeah, so I'm trying to do both at the same time, and I'm waiting for phone calls.
Isn't this what our news people are supposed to be doing?
I talked to the guy. It was Channel 22. I talked to the station manager. I said, do you know what's going on with the Marcellus Shale? He goes, vaguely. That's his word, vaguely.
Come on down.
Yeah. I mean,
where is the station located? Is it?
In Scranton.
Scranton.
It's like the big station around here, you know, where there, we don't have that many stations. It's just amazing. But yet, if somebody had like 20 cats in their house and the SPCA came, it would be on the news for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's insane. Exactly. I'm like, what do they cover? It's just, people don't want to hear. I think it's partially, like you say, Frank, like people don't want to know. Because then they have to deal with it. They have to, like, do something.
That's right. Yeah.
And they don't want to.
Don't bother me, right? Man. I'm busy.
Don't let me
know
about it. Yeah. I don't want to know about this bad stuff.
And it seems inevitable. It doesn't have to be. I agree. But it seems so inevitable. Well, let's fight this other fight, or let's just watch baseball. You know, in hell with it.
Well, Pennsylvania is trying to change the rules right now, aren't they? I mean, kind of after the fact. Am I wrong? I thought I'd be reading this.
This might be something I don't know about, which is very possible. This is what people have said to me, like, we need to get the oil and gas rules for the DEP oil and gas division. Their rules were made like in 1986 or something. They're really very outdated, so they should be. But that whole process involves, it's a long, long process, because they have to introduce new rules, and then they have to be studied, and then they have to have public comment, and you know, it just goes on and on.
Yeah, it's true.
The governor has the ability, just like Patterson, to put a moratorium on them, but our governor, Ed Rundell, is 100% behind this.
Well, so is Patterson. Yeah,
Patterson wants it too.
Yeah,
because of the money. I mean, they're not, maybe they are bad people, they probably are, but I mean, almost they have no choice, because both states are going bankrupt.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't
want
to have
their
job.
But then why wouldn't they put a severance tax on? I mean, it's so crazy if they're so interested in the money.
Well, because it might hamper
the
development. I mean, you know, that's what they've been, that's what the line is.
Yeah, the gas companies aren't making enough money.
It's because the gas and oil company has the most money of any corporation on the planet, and they get their way. That's really what it boils down to.
Wow.
And it's odd, because I do understand the mentality of the people that are denying the truth. I do it, too. I just say, I want to be removed from my dog. And they're going to let me know what it is. I could call them, but I feel like the longer I put off hearing the news, the more, you know.
Yeah, it's certainly understandable. It's a human. When I first realized what they were going to do here, because I thought at first when they were going to drill that they were just going to drill a couple wells and give the gas to P&G. That's really what I thought. And then when I discovered, because people said, oh, yeah, they're going to drill, and it's for P&G, you know? And I'm like, well, that sucks. But when I realized what happened, for a long while, I just tried to pretend like it wasn't happening. You know, like I just tried to forget about it. Like, you know, you just, some people can forget about it. They go, oh, well, it's not going to, you know, my spouse, Bob, he's not for it, but he doesn't lose any sleep over it. He goes, look, Len, it's going to happen. And I said, well, what would I, because it's interesting, because it's like I have a science experiment right in my house. I'm like, what would a psychological experiment subject, and I said, what would it take for you personally to get upset enough, like Frank and I, that we're becoming obsessed with it, and because he bikes, you know, and he bikes all around in these areas. And I said, if you couldn't bike anymore, you know, and if you nearly got run over by a fracking truck, or you know, some beautiful place you like to go was ruined, if your ability to go out and enjoy, that would get him upset.
Well, but that's what it takes, maybe. Who knows what everyone's bike
right
is.
But that's the thing is, you know, we have to find what it is personally that would upset people enough. You know, like the Heitzmans, who have the well on their property and the spills. I mean, they were all happy as could be that they had wells until they had big spills, and now they're not very happy, you know. Unfortunately, it takes personal disasters to make people react.
That's the unfortunate truth. You're exactly right.
And for us, it's going to take a lot of industrialization and accidents, which to me is, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to take.
That's it. I mean, I say the only hope for us, this is so cynical, turn the tape and go around, but, you know, we have county below us, it's called Broome County and Tioga mm-hmm. County. There's something like 3,000 wells mm-hmm. are slated to go into those counties as the, you know, before they really hit us at all. And my fond hope is that there's some horrible, mm-hmm. horrible tragedies and incidents yeah. there. So to the extent that by the time
that it's obvious,
we hear about that, that they say, well, you know, Tompkins County, I don't know, you know, they're hard to deal with up there anyway, you know, and now because we had that explosion that killed 49 people, you know, we should, that's our hope, right? That's some sad. Hope.
But, you know, you have to kind of plug away at it at all. Yeah. And one thing from working this long, and at first I was so hopeless, but things happen. Well, you know, things always shift and change. Like this whole thing with the New York City watershed, like
great.
I said, was a gift from heaven. I mean, first of all, now a lot more people know about it. And second of all, this gas company guy, what's his
Aubrey
name?
Aubrey McClendon.
Is going to now have to defend his position that it's not okay to pollute New York City, but for the rest of us.
It's going to be his epitaph.
You know, because their whole thing before, their whole talking point before was that this is safe. But now they just pulled the rug out from under themselves. You know, if it's not safe for New York City, it's not safe for anyone else.
Exactly.
So explain that. And even if we don't ask Aubrey to explain it, we can ask Sandra Major, who is our local representative, who thinks this is the most wonderful thing, mm-hmm. and say, Sandra, you know, you're supposed to be protecting me and my family. And mm-hmm. Aubrey McClendon says this could damage the New York City. I mean, I just wrote a letter and I sent it to everybody and I said that just that. Like, you're supposed to be protecting me and this isn't safe.
He's the president of the biggest gas company in America.
I have not gotten one response. I have not gotten a response to that letter that's gone out. Because I'm sure they're all sitting there going, because I'm thinking, okay, now they have to come up with another, you know, line. So they're probably all like got their PR people in going, now what do we do now?
No, that's true, but that's still a toughie. Oh, you're going to let them, you know, you're going to protect their water supply, right, we're going to let the rest of New York State die. Oh, okay,
right.
I get it.
You know, and I mean, our local people have been saying this is safe. You know, the companies say it's safe, yeah. The DEP say it's safe. Well, now what are they going to tell me?
Yeah.
And then if they start talking about technical aspects of it, they don't know as much as I do.
Absolutely
they don't do their homework. They don't know. Mm-hmm. They really don't. You know, Frank and I could arm wrestle them in an argument
sure.
in a minute because they don't know. They have no clue, you know.
Because you have to be utterly obsessed and know
right.
about
you
it.
Have to be obsessed. Even the guy, we had a guy at a public hearing, Brian Swistock, I think it was, who is I think he works for the SRBC. I asked, he mentioned in his talk about injection wells that out west they were finding some incidences that there was problems with water contamination. So at the meeting I'm like, could you tell us all where, you know, what you read, what you found, you know, about this? And he like went blank and he said, I'll have to get back to you on that. And in his defense, he did. Several weeks later, he sent me some articles, and you know what he sent me? ProPublica.
Oh, did he?
Wow. And it was old to me. It was old news to me. And he had just, like, this is new.
Yeah.
They don't
look
read
what I
this
just found.
Stuff.
Don't believe this. Yeah.
They don't look at the website. You know, we look at Shale Shock's website and all that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're all very well-versed in these things. They don't see any of that.
Well,
you know, they don't see
we're,
it.
We're scared, and they're making money.
And they're busy. I'm sure they're just as busy as I am, if not more so. They're probably running around to hearings every other night trying to explain what's going on, you know?
Now,
so.
Who sent you that? ProPublica?
ProPublica?
Yeah.
ProPublica.org.
No, who sent you that link?
I think it was Brian Swistock.
Oh, okay.
Who sent me that?
Because I've been going back and forth with Mark Cameron.
Mark Harmon.
Has
he read the ProPublica stuff?
I don't know, but it's odd. I called the office, mm-hmm. and the woman was very abrupt. You know, who are you? What do you want? This kind of stuff. She sounded almost like almost nasty.
Who's that?
The woman who for DEP.
Mark Harmon, who's our local.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
the guy I told you who's like the public relations.
And I told her who I was, and she relayed the message to Mark, and immediately they put me through.
Mm-hmm.
He answers my emails within 10 minutes.
Yeah, he does. He's really good about that. He carries a BlackBerry, and he'll answer you like right away. I feel bad for the guy. I really do. I think that he loves this area. I think he's from around here. And I think he looks pretty stressed out. I feel bad for him. Yeah. I really do. And he's their PR guy. So what is he supposed to say? You know, he can't stand up there and say, yeah, this is horrible and destructive. Yeah.
His job is to present this in the best light possible.
His job is to
lie too much.
Right.
Without getting caught lying.
He's supposed to reassure the public that this is all, that their DP is doing their job.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like my age, and I'm sure he's saying, God, in 5 years.
I'll get retired and get a pension, right? Yeah.
You know?
That was Frank of Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania. I want to comment on a remark made by one of the New York people regarding hoping that there would be some disaster with drilling in Broome County that would save the other places. I don't mean to put anyone on the spot here. I thought about editing that remark out because I'm sure it puts someone who is no doubt a very nice person in a bad light. But I decided to leave it in as an example of the type of ideas this society creates in people. It puts people in a position where they have to do wrong or wish wrong to others in order to save themselves. American culture is snitch culture. That is why it is so completely morally bankrupt, as well as now literally so. Even good people who strive to do no harm are put in a position to harm others if they want to survive. We are now, most of us, wage slaves, so we have to get a job or die. When we apply for a job, especially at a time like this, there are many others also applying. All of the applicants desperately need the job because their human rights have been stripped away from them by this society. They have no right to food. They have no right to shelter. They have no right to live. The successful applicant is happy. She has driven off starvation and homelessness. But what of the others? The successful applicant has, by her success, condemned the others to that fate. They don't deserve such a fate any more than the people and land of Broome County deserve destruction in order to save Tompkins County. Pat, the first speaker, was an object lesson of how such thinking doesn't work. That is the thinking of what Charles Eisenstein calls the age of separation. No, my friends, it's solidarity we need. An injury to one is an injury to all. An injury to Pennsylvania is an injury to New York. And an injury to Broome is an injury to Tompkins. An injury to the Finger Lakes is an injury to the Catskills. An injury to the Catskills is an injury to the Southern Tier. Thanks to Ken Zieserson for providing the audio to me and to Kelsey Vachon for recording it. To get involved, visit shaleshock.org. To download copies of this show and pass it around to others, it's free. Go to the archive at unwelcomeguests.org. Thank you for listening.
1649, this is in George's Hill. A ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's well. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the land in common and to make the wasteland grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. So it can be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No one has any right to buy and sell here for private gain. By theft and murder they took the lands. Now everywhere the walls rise up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven, or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor men starve. We work, we eat together, we need no swords. We will not bow to masters or pay rent to the lords. We are free men, though we are poor.
You diggers all stand up for Goldie, stand up now. From the men of property, the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim, tear down their cottages, destroying their corn. They were dispersed, only the vision lingers on. You poor take courage, you rich take care. The earth was made a common treasury for everyone to share all things in.